Good morning. Glad you're here. Please pray with me. Oh, Holy Father, we thank you for the blessed occasion of the gathering of your people. Father, we thank you for the promise of our Savior that when we gather in his name, he'll meet with us. Father, would you give us what we need this day? Would you encourage and build up your people? Use us for your glory. We thank you for sending your Son to save us from our sins. And we pray to you in his name, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. To edify is to instruct with the goal of encouragement. I hope that you might be edified this day. The first reference to sheep that I find in my Bible is in Genesis chapter 4, where we learn that Abel, the second son of Adam and Eve, was a keeper of sheep. Abel, the first human to die after the fall, was a shepherd. I did a word search in my English Bible. I used the King James Version, and starting at the beginning, in Genesis, and looking for the term sheep. I was looking for the word sheep where it's not referring to ovis agris, but via analogy where the word sheep is referring to a human being. In the first instance in which I found a human being analogized with a sheep is in Numbers chapter 27, verses 16 and 17. Listen, the Bible says, "Let Jehovah, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Jehovah be not as sheep which have no shepherd." The next instance, looking for the term sheep being applied to a human being, the next instance was that time when David had violated the command of the Lord and numbered the people, and he was chastened of the Lord. And in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 17, I read, "David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." After that, 1 Kings 22:17, Micaiah the prophet prophesies to Ahab, king of Israel, about what will happen if he goes out to war against the king of Syria. You may recall, Ahab gets prophecies from several prophets, and they all say, go whoop up on him. And Micaiah comes and says, yeah, go whoop up on him. And he says, I know you've always got a bad prophecy. Tell me the truth. Micaiah says, I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house. Now, some of those instances are repeated in the parallel passages in Chronicles. But it's when you get to the book Psalms, the Bible's hymn book, when you get to the Psalms, that's when you really begin to see copious use of the idea of sheep being analogized to a person. Of course, there's that most beautiful of all Psalms, that beautiful idea when David sings in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he pens the rest of that beautiful poem as a sheep of God who lies down in green pastures beside still waters, walking in paths of righteousness, a sheep of God who is shepherded, kept, and comforted, even when he has to walk through a shadowy valley filled with death. In Psalm 44, we read this morning in our responsive reading, the people of God sing, "Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and has scattered us among the heathen," verse 11, and then verse 22 of the same psalm. "Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." The Psalms have many references to the people of God as sheep. "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Psalm 95, 7. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Psalm 100, verse 3. And there are others. There are others. And surely you remember that beautiful messianic prophecy from Isaiah where we read, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. And we know that the first reference there to straying sheep is us, all we who like sheep have gone astray. But that second lamb, the one that is brought to the slaughter, the one silent before the shearers, well, that's our beloved Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, the Almighty speaks and declares to Israel, "Ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God." Ezekiel 34, 31. And you know, speaking of his followers, those first Christians, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." John 10, 14. And he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." John 10, 27 through 30. When Jesus sent his disciples out to preach the coming of the kingdom, he said to them, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Matthew 10, 16. Sheep. Sheep. God calls his people Israel sheep. God's son, Jesus, calls his people sheep. Now, is it a good thing to be known as a sheep? Is that a good thing? Well, in our day, there's a term that I've heard used to describe people who are docile, compliant, or easily influenced. And that term is sheeple. Have you heard that? Sheeple. It's a combining of the word sheep and people. sheeple. Now listen, I have never in my life heard it used positively, only negative. Sheeple. It's a word meant to compare a person to a sheep. And the idea is that to be like a sheep is a bad thing. You Dumbo. You nitwit. You sheeple. Is it a good thing to be known as a sheep? A currently famous California radio and TV preacher has written that Jesus compares us to sheep is not a compliment. Sheep are among the dumbest of all creatures. Most animals, in many cases, will survive if released into the wild. They'll learn to fend for themselves and make it. But a sheep released into the world cannot survive. Sheep have no survival skills whatsoever. Another currently famous radio preacher, a different one, and not, I know who they are, I'm not telling you right now, has said, sheep are dumb, defenseless, and boring. He asked, couldn't God have thought of something better than sheep? He said, of all God's animals, the sheep is the least able to take care of himself. Sheep are dumb. Have you ever met a sheep trainer? Ever seen sheep tricks? Know anyone who has taught his sheep to roll over? Ever witnessed a circus sideshow featuring Mazadon and his jumping sheep? No, sheep are just too dumb, he says. And they're defenseless. They have no fangs or claws. They can't bite you and they can't outrun you. That's why you never see sheep as mascots for sports teams. We've heard of the St. Louis Rams and the Chicago Bulls and the Seattle Seahawks, but the New York Lambs? Who wants to be a lamb? If you search the internet, and I did, there's a fairly common sheep sermon, with the idea being that sheep are dumb, directionless, defenseless, maybe even disgusting because they can get so filthy. Now, Christian preachers don't need to be tearing each other down, but saints, I wonder if that's the point of Jesus calling his people sheep. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I missed something, but didn't we just read a minute ago Jesus telling his sheep to be wise as serpents? In Genesis 3:1, the Bible refers to the serpent as subtle. Subtle, with alternate translations for subtle being shrewd, crafty, wise. The polar opposite of dumb. Can you imagine a subtle sheep? A shrewd sheep? A crafty sheep? A wise sheep? You know what schizophrenia is? It's a mental illness. Etymologically, it's the combination of the Greek words schizo, for divide or split, and phreneo, for mind. So etymologically, schizophrenia refers to a divided mind. And beloved, listen, we should not be schizophrenic. We should not be divided in our minds. So let's answer that question. Is being a sheep a good thing or a bad thing? And saints, listen, Listen to me. I want to affirm this morning with all the force that I can muster that being called one of Jesus' sheep is a very, very good thing. To be called my sheep by the Savior, it is a very good thing. If following the Lamb of God makes one a sheep, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You may have heard, as I have, of a supposed Christian who said, "I love Jesus, but I can't stand the church." Have you heard that? Well, friend, that's malarkey. That is malarkey. Listen, if you want to be my friend, you must accept my bride. You understand? Otherwise, we can't be friends. She's with me. And listen, we know that sometimes the church has problems. Sometimes she's even sick. But the church is the bride of Christ. And there is no such thing as loving the bridegroom and hating his bride. If there's a problem with the bride, those who love her and her bridegroom should pray for her and help her and care for her as much as they can. But you can't be the friend of the bridegroom and hate his bride. I don't understand insulting sheep. Christians, I don't understand insulting sheep. Let me tell you something about sheep. Sheep are valuable. Listen, sheep are very valuable. In our day, we refer to wealthy people as millionaires or billionaires, referring to the amount of dollars or pounds or euros or pieces of gold that they can access. But on the timeline of history, that's a rather recent development. In the old times, livestock was better than money in the bank. And friend, listen, even today, the reason that your money has any utilitarian value is that you can take it down to Kroger and buy yourself a steak. A steak that just a few days ago was livestock. On the hoof. In Job chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible describes the wealth of this great man. And it says, he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Job. Now, sometimes driving or riding with Jeannie, we're out on a country road and we'll see a herd of cattle and I'll say, "Look at those steaks." A few years ago when my father-in-law was still actively building, there was an economic downturn and things got tight. And from time to time we'd talk about it, but he'd say, "Well, son, we're still eating steak. Still eating steak. Not that bad yet." Sheep are very valuable. They represent wealth, meat and milk and wool. When wise Solomon would instruct his son on economic wealth and wisdom, he says, "Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing. The goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, and for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. Proverbs 27, verses 23 through 27. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Listen, Jesus calls us his sheep. How much is a sheep worth? Well, Jesus said, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth not he leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Matthew 18, verses 12 and 13. Seems like the Savior put great value on just one sheep. Even the kind of sheep that was one that would wander off. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. John 10, 11 and 14. Please turn to that prophecy in Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We quoted from this chapter earlier, and you may recall that Isaiah 53 is a famous messianic prophecy. Listen, the whole chapter is about Jesus. And this chapter is either quoted or alluded to in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and 1 Peter. Let's stand for the reading of Holy Scripture. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The Lord bless the reading of Holy Scripture. You may be seated. When we see that phrase there in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Listen, understand that that's a description of sheep without a shepherd. So listen, that has got to be a description of our past, not our present. You understand? Peter, alluding to this text, writes, "You were as sheep going astray. You were, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." 1 Peter 2:25. We who are in Christ are partakers of the new covenant in his blood. We are not shepherdless. Rather, we are followers of the good shepherd, the shepherd lamb who laid down his life for his sheep. He analogizes us as sheep. He's our good shepherd, and we are his sheep. And beloved, listen, saints, there is nothing negative about it. Nothing negative at all. He, our good shepherd, says to us, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Luke 12:32. "Fear not, little flock." The English word pastor came to us directly from Latin. Pastor is the Latin for shepherd. And pastors, elders in the church of God, are to be under shepherds, assisting the good shepherd, the great shepherd, in feeding his flock. Bill, I still remember from the sermon preached at our ordination, being told, you and me, we were told, "You are responsible for the sheep food." You remember that? "You are responsible for the sheep food." In his first letter, Peter addresses the elders in the churches, and he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. And saints, listen. Sheep, saints, listen. This is why Bill and I appeal to you for prayer. This is why we ask you repeatedly, please pray for us. Dr. Campbell used to say, if the sheep are crying out to the good shepherd, he'll load up his little wagon, boy's wagon. Listen, if you want a better preacher, pray for him. God can make him better. God will. Did you hear what we're called here, though, in Peter's letter? The flock of God. The flock of God. God's heritage. The Lord's portion is his people. Beloved, there's nothing bad about being Jesus' sheep. It's all good. good. Contrary to what some say, we're not dumb. We're not directionless. We're not defenseless. Listen, we're not dumb. We know our Master's voice, and what we hear from Him, we speak. We're not directionless. We follow the Good Shepherd. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. We're not defenseless. Jesus has said, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:7. Listen, no one can get to us unless Jesus lets them in. I am the door of the sheep, He says. He says of us, His sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 10:28. And beloved, we are certainly not disgusting or foul or filthy, are we? Our sins, which were as red as scarlet, have been washed as white as snow. Though they were as crimson, they have been made white as wool. We've washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb, like those saints in heaven, Revelation 7:14. Please hear me, listen. Saints, flock of God, you have great value. You have great value. I've talked to you about value before and about how value is imputed to something because it's valued. When Nina was a little girl, I'd say, I'm going to throw you in the trash can. And she said, no, Daddy, I'm a treasure. I'm a treasure. If no one wanted gold, it would have no value. You can't eat it. If nobody wanted it, it wouldn't have any value. And think about this, little flock. Think about this. God so loved you. God so treasured you. God so valued you that He gave His only begotten Son to save you from perishing. Sheep. If God values you, you have value. If God treasures you, you are a treasure. If God loves you, listen, you are lovely, lovable, worthy. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who my daddy is? You don't feel that way? Well, who are you to reply against God? You need to work on your feelings. You know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain living, received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. 1 Peter 1:18-21. If God so values His sheep, and He does, then they have great value. And you ought to value them too. And you shouldn't slander them. Listen, saints, if God so loves us that he would give the most valuable thing he could give to redeem us, and then calls us his sheep, should we demean sheep? Or should we be ashamed to be called that? Should we be ashamed if people call us sheeple? I don't think so, but I hope we'll be the wisest sheeple this world has ever seen. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. I can't demean sheep. I can't demean sheep, and it troubles me when other Christians do. We are his sheep. And our Savior is the Lamb of God. Listen, sheep and shepherds were the first witnesses to the divine invasion of earth from heaven on that first Christmas night. If there's any animal that Christians should esteem, it seems to me it must be Ovis Aries, sheep. We're not dumb. We're not directionless. We're not defenseless. We know our shepherd's voice. We follow him, and he provides for us and protects us. He values us greatly, and thus we are valuable. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Like sheep, we went astray and broke the fold of God, each wandering in a different way, but all the downward road. How dreadful was the hour when God our wanderings laid and did at once his vengeance pour upon the shepherd's head. How glorious was the grace when Christ sustained the stroke. His life and blood the shepherd pays, a ransom for the flock. His honor and his breath were taken both away, joined with the wicked in his death, and made as vile as they. But God shall raise his head o'er all the sons of men, and make him see a numerous seed to recompense his pain. I'll give him, saith the Lord, a portion with the strong. He shall possess a large reward and hold his honors long. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. O thou eternal source, author of all created being and happiness, I adore thee for making man capable of religion, that he may be taught to say, "Where is my God, my Maker, who giveth me songs in the night?" But degeneracy has spread over our human race, turning glory into shame, rendering us forgetful of thee. We know it is thy power alone that can recall wandering children, can impress on them a sense of divine things, can render that sense lasting and effectual. From thee proceed all good purposes and desires and the diffusing of piety and happiness. Thou hast knowledge of my soul's secret principles and art aware of my desire to spread thy gospel. O, make me an almoner to give thy bounties to the indigent, comfort to the mentally ill, restoration to the sin-diseased, hope to the despairing, joy to the sorrowing, love to the prodigals. Blow away the ashes of unbelief by thy Spirit's breath, and give me light, fire, warmth, love. I need thy spiritual comforts that are gentle, peaceful, mild, refreshing, that will melt me into conscious lowliness before thee, that will make me feel and rest in thee as my all. Fill the garden of my soul with the wind of thy love, that the sense of the Christian life may be wafted to others. Then come and gather fruit to thy glory. So shall I fulfill the great end of my being, to glorify thee and to be a blessing to men. In Jesus' name, amen.